We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, America. Hey, happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. Mine hasn't started out well. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But anyway, let's check out some weather. Man, these temperatures are a lot better than they were yesterday, even though it's still warm. But it was pretty nice this morning after that cloud cover moved in. Let's see what we got. 79 at Beaver. They're having their big sale up there right now. 81 at Slap Out. 79 at the May Ranch. 84 at Fairview. Check this out. 78 at Ceiling. 86 at Eric. And 90 at Hollis. Three-way tie for the hot spot in the state right now for Western Oklahoma. And that is Mangum, Altus, and Tipton. You all in 91 degrees. Out here in the Panhandle, more of the same. 94 at Odell, 89 at Dozer, 87 at Miami, and 86 at Lipscomb. How about that? Anyway, so my morning wasn't a great start. I actually got to sleep in a little bit this morning because I didn't have to move the water, giving it a break for a little bit on the peanuts. Anyway, so I got up early anyway and got around. Wanted to go check the water on all the cattle early this morning instead of late this afternoon so I could see what had happened. So Sunday I had a heifer over there on Merritt Road. She finally had her baby, a little bull calf. When I left her Sunday, she was cleaning it up, doing a good job for a heifer, and everything was looking good. Checked yesterday morning and the little calf was up and he had nursed his mama, and so everything's good. And as we all know, it was a hot booger yesterday, and heat is really hard on calves, especially the black ones, the dark colored ones. And so this morning I pulled in there. When I pulled in the gate, I seen that heifer doing circles around her calf, and there was a couple buzzards there. And I was like, what the heck? When I went ahead and started easing over toward the pickup, the buzzards flew off, and I got up there, calf still alive. And them sorry pieces of crap had pecked the calf's eyes out. It was still alive. Put the calf down. And I've heard of them doing this. And it's usually from East Texas and Eastern Oklahoma and Arkansas, back over in that area, that the black vultures, buzzards, had do that and do it quite often. But not one time have I ever heard it done out here, and I'm not saying it hasn't been. Come find out, I actually know a couple people that it has happened to in the last 4 or 5 years. So anyway, not a good deal. Kind of sad deal, put a baby down like that. And I have no clue why that calf wasn't strong enough to get up. It was only 30-something hours old. That heat could have made that calf weak since I seen it yesterday morning. And who knows? But it was still alive and the buzzards were on it. So anyway, I just don't know what to say. Bad deal all the way around. So anyway, just giving you a heads up for you fall calvers. And the buzzards are starting to migrate. They'll hang out here for the next month. I seen the radio tower over there at whatever tower it is over at Sayre this morning when I left before I went to check the cattle, and it was loaded up with buzzards. So they're here, and some of them have been here all summer, but there's a bunch here now. So guys, keep just one more thing that we need to deal with. So anyway, there you have it. Today is Stockman's Vet Clinic happy hour, and it's also Heyday Tuesdays. So if you want to, text in to 580. I've already got one text in. 580-225-9697. If you need to buy some hay or you want to sell some hay. Now, if you are selling hay, here's all I need. Type of hay, tested or not, price per ton or bale, can you load, is there hauling available, and your phone number. That's all I need, and I'll advertise it. We just started last week. I don't know how those three guys that texted in last week, if they got any sold, but it's going to take some time, guys. We'll get her going. People will find out about it. I got a little deal in the Penny News coming out this week. Tara helped me out to put in there on my Today in Ag page for information on that. And so the last segment every Tuesday will be, I'll read off who's got hay, needs hay, or is buying hay. So it'll be good for the last segment. So let's get on. I got Brandon Hicken coming on here shortly. So let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Grain and soybeans were modestly lower in overnight trading as investors focused on favorable growing conditions in the United States. Storms are expected to ease dryness in some areas in South Dakota and Nebraska this week. Rainfall is expected in parts of several corn belts, including Nebraska, South Dakota, northern Iowa, according to the National Weather Service. Showers in the 16 to 30-day outlook is forecast to assist corn and soybean field in the northern Midwest, according to the Commodity Weather Group. Still underpinning prices overnight were concerns about some drier weather that's on the way. About 15% of corn and soybeans will still see some dryness in parts of southern South Dakota, northern Nebraska, and northeastern Iowa. Models still pose drier risk in both the Midwest and the Delta in the next 6 to 15 days. Well, I'm going to throw my little bit of training in meteorology at you. With that moon last night, when it was coming up over the horizon to the east, it had a smiley face on it. So old timers myths are, when you see a full moon with a smiley face on it, it's going to rain in the next couple weeks. So I hope my myth's right. Cross my fingers. So anyway, let's see here. Just a silver sliver, 2.6% of Iowa is seeing abnormally dry conditions as of last week. Corn futures for December delivery fell one penny to $4.25 a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery lost a penny and a quarter overnight to $5.45 a bushel, while Kansas City futures dropped two and a quarter to $5.54 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 3 cents to $9.73 a bushel. Soybean meal dropped $1.10 to $309.50 a short ton, and soy oil declined 0.38 cents to 38.7 cents a pound. That's another price that's the cheapest I've seen soy oil in 3 years. Inspections for corn and beans for export rose week to week, which is a good thing, but wheat assessments plunged. Corn inspections for overseas delivery rose to 1.17 million metric tons in the 7 days that ended August 17th. That's up from 986,000 tons a week earlier, and it's over double what it was at this point last year. Soybean assessments increased to 398,233 tons from 349,000 the previous week, and that's up from 320,000 tons last year. Wheat inspections, meanwhile, dropped to 347,000 tons from 666,000 tons a week earlier. Still, the total was higher than the 320,000 tons at the same point last year. Thunderstorms forecast. Looks like we got rain up north. Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, southeastern South Dakota, according to the National Weather Service. Excessive heat is projected for this afternoon in parts of southern Oklahoma and North Texas. Heat indexes for North Texas are forecasted at 113. I guess Woodward yesterday was the hottest spot in the world at 112. Hotter than the deserts, hotter than anything. I think Oklahoma was hotter than any place in the United States yesterday. She was a warm one. So anyway, let's go ahead. I got Brandon coming on after this first break, but let's go ahead and look at the Lipscomb Dealerships Grain Market update real quick. Let's see what things are looking like now. September corn, it's at 375. It's down three. December's 398, down 2.25. And I got a pop-up on my screen. Quit it. September soybeans, 957, up 3/4. November, 976, up 1/4. Soybeans for September, 312.10, up 40 cents. October's 306.40, up one, or let me back up, down 170. Soybean oil for September, 40.70, up 23. October's 39.88, up 22. September hard red winter wheat, 543, up 3. December, 559, up 2.75. And what do we got here? Oil. Out of West Texas, September 74.24, down 13, and natural gas, September 217, down 0.05. Looks like the Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ is all in the red today. I guess that's because the Democratic Convention started yesterday. I don't know if that's a fact, but I guess it's coincidental. I'm kidding. Anyway, let's see here. Live cattle, October 175.07, down 395. December 174.67, down 370. August feeders 237.30, down 507. September 233.30, down 597. I don't know what happened between my Tradio update and this one, but things of between the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ, and the cattle market don't look too good. I guess we'll find out from the boss coming up here in just a minute. All right, let's take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. When we come back, I'll have Mr. Brandon Hickey on here to talk about what's happening at the sale barns with all this fluctuation in the market. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Money may not buy happiness, but it can buy a bag of cotton candy, a burger, and a rodeo ticket, and the chance to see some pretty darn good bull riding, barrel racing, and the other rodeo events as well. Hi, everybody. Wayne Brooks inviting you to the Rodeo of Champions in Elk City, August 30th, 31st, and September 1st to watch the best rodeo action around. Brought to you by Barber Dyson Ford. Get your tickets online at elkcityrodeo.com. It's the Elk City Rodeo, August 30th, 31st, and September 1st. See you there.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Eric.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. McLean, Texas, here's your ag weather update for out there in the panhandle of the big state of Texas. 89 degrees, heat index is at 91, humidity's 44, dew point 64. It's a little muggy out there. South winds at 3 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 21 miles an hour. Month to date, precipitation 0.96 inches, and it just quit on me. Okay, there we go. It came back. 8-inch soil temperature, 87 degrees. Well, on the phone with me right now, according to Kay at the sale barn, is the world famous Brandon Hickey.
Good afternoon, Jimmy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm flying down the interstate headed to go get a couple of broken welders fixed.
Uh-oh. That ain't good.
Yeah. No, it is not good for the cell barn to be without a welder, I can assure you.
Oh. Well, if you need one, you can borrow mine.
I just went over there, donated a little more money to old Janning Welding and got me a brand spanking new one. But I'm going to go get these two fixed because I figure they'll break the new one before long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it happens. Hey, when you use stuff, it breaks.
Yes, sir.
Anyway. Well, you had a pretty good sale Friday, even with all the fluctuations that we got going on, not just in the cattle market, but grains and the Dow and S&P, and had quite a few hit.
Yeah, the fall runs are upon us. I mean, these good ranch calves are coming to town. They're flocking in here. I think, you know, we're probably going to be kind of pretty similar to this from now through the middle of November. I'm not anticipating the really, really great big runs like we have sometimes in October, because the numbers are set. I think we might not have them 2,500 to 3,000 runs, but, you know, I think we're going to rock along here and be 15 to 2,500 every week from now through November. And it's just lots of really, really good calves that are going to be offering, you know, most of them kind of weighing from 4 to 6.
Gotcha. Well, the prices look like they're down just a little bit, but they're still good.
Yeah, you know, for considering what that board did Friday, I mean, we again, you know, you're always a little nervous when you have a wreck on the board that day, the morning of your sale, you're getting ready to start, and it has a wreck like that, and you're always like, oh my goodness, what's this going to do? You know, is everybody going to pull out? And it didn't turn out to be that bad. We was probably 4 or 5 cheaper on the calves than the week before. Feeder heifers were probably 2 to 4 cheaper, and then the feeder steers was probably 4 to 6 cheaper. So all in all, still a lot of dollars per head being paid for these calves, and still a lot of buyer interest. Still a lot of people, you know, want to buy some calves, but you know, they're kind of basing what they're doing and what they're being willing to give on the, according to, you know, where they can get them things locked back in on the board or their LRP payments. And so, their LRP insurance, I mean, and so they're, you know, that it's going to fluctuate some according to, as the board moves, you know, the camp market is going to move. And, you know, some years we're not in a situation like we are now where it's the dry and, you know, it's not looking real promising to get wheat pasture, at least not in our immediate area. And, you know, but some years you have that opportunity. Well, sometimes that'll push that calf market higher or keep it steady even if you do have a down market. But we're not in that situation. They did get some good rain east of us, and maybe looking at some wheat pasture east of us on closer to the city. But we're a ways out from that yet, and so everybody they're buying these calves off of where they can set them back in and lock them back in at a profit, and that's gonna we're unfortunately, whether right or wrong, whether the feeder board is moving the way it should be or not be, our calf deal is going to be tied to it. And unfortunately, I think, we've got a lot of traders that playing the deal that don't have any idea about supply and demand or cattle numbers or how tight they are or anything. They're strictly playing trends, and, they're a little uneasy, little uncomfortable because this thing hasn't gotten as good as what a lot of people figured. We've kind of hit those resistance levels and haven't been able to break through, and that's causing some of these traders to jump ship. They get a little bad news about something overseas, and they jump ship out of the cattle market. It don't make a lot of sense what they do, but they go to playing trends and playing charts, and we're kind of just along for the ride.
Well, we need to go up there to Kansas City and Chicago and get those boys and bring them down here for one day. And, they do that teacher in agriculture class. We need to do a trader in agriculture class and get some of those boys who's never been out here in the real world out here and have them come out here and do it. But I did give our listeners hope at the first of the show when that full moon come up last night. It was a break in the horizon. It had a smiley face on, so it's going to rain in the next 2 weeks.
Awesome. So, I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, but that full moon with the smiley face doesn't get rid of the grasshoppers.
Well, but a good big rain will sure put the hurt on them.
Well, yeah, on the babies, yes, it sure will. The big boys, they're tough. That's all I can tell you. It's enjoyable to drive down the gravel road with the dogs in the front seat, and they're busy catching grasshoppers flying in through the where I don't have a windshield. So, but anyway, it's going on. Well, the slaughter market, there's nothing changing on that. There, you don't foresee any change on that in the future, do you?
No. I mean, those numbers are going to be tight. They're having a hard time, meeting their needs. We've seen a little bit of pullback in the lower yielding, more feeding type of cows because they have quit buying the feeding cows, and they're pretty well buying everything, going straight to the kill plants at this point. And so the thinner cow market is not as good, because they're not buying them to put more on them. They're buying them to take off whatever they can get out of them. So that sure pulled down the thin market, but the good high yielding cows and bulls have not went anywhere. And historically, we will see that thing start south pretty quickly, shortly after Labor Day. I don't really anticipate that happening this year. I think our numbers will stay tight enough, that I don't anticipate the big drop like we normally have in butcher cows and bulls, but, maybe there's more out there than what I realize, and we will see it, but I don't really feel like it. I think this thing's going to kind of stay pretty steady. I think it's going to not be much affected by the futures boards and the Dow Jones and all of that. I mean, I think it's going to be, it may be the only thing that's going to be affected truly by supply and demand, and we've got to have hamburger, and there's not enough supply out there to meet the demand. So that's going to keep us, I think that's going to keep us pretty steady on these butcher cows and bulls going forward. But I've been wrong before. I may be wrong again, but I don't really anticipate the fall off after Labor Day like we have seen in past years. But the calf deal is going to be, it's going to be 100% tied to this feeder board, going forward, whatever it does week in and week out, that it's going to affect the calf deal.
Well, the Cotton King just texted in. He says, when there's a shortage, they grow them bigger. And, you know, that's actually true. They I've seen reports where the ones at the feed yards, they're coming in a little bit bigger.
Yep. They push them carcass weights up, and it's amazing when you get them carcass weights up. It's amazing how much beef that adds to the supply chain just by putting another 100 pounds on them cattle, getting them carcasses up there where they're another 50-60 pounds bigger, and that adds a lot of meat to the supply chain without a doubt. But you know, the last report I heard, and I haven't heard it in a week or so, we're not that, our carcass weights are not that far above where they were a year ago, which I was really happy about when I heard that last report. And again, I haven't heard it in a week or two, so I'm not exactly sure where we're at now, but we were staying really pretty current a couple of weeks ago, which was very, very encouraging to me that the packers were needing to buy them quicker, and they weren't pushing the weights up to get them bigger. So, you know, that was an encouraging thing to me. But there again, you know, they've been able to keep this thing where all along we felt like that we ought to have these fat cattle up, around that $2 mark, and they've been able to, you know, keep it down to most of the time below 185. I think, you know, once or twice we might have got up there in the low 190s, but they've been pretty well able to hold that thing down in the low 180s, and that, you know, that gets frustrating when you feel like your numbers should push you up there to, you know, another $15 a hundred. You know, you go to talking about another $15 a hundred on a 1,200 or 1,500 pound steer, and that's a pretty significant amount of money.
Well, over there at Western Oklahoma, you had some big groups of heifers come in.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And they sold. And they sold well yesterday.
They did. There was a lot of buyer activity, a lot of buyer action, and big groups and long winged and condition was right, and they were there. They knew the cattle was there, and the buyers showed up to buy them and compete on them, and it made for a good day. And I was glad to see the morning yesterday morning right before we started. I checked the board and it was showing up a little bit. It wasn't recovered near what it lost Friday, but it was at least up a little bit. And of course, we're taking a whole bunch back off of it today. But I was glad yesterday to see that we were up just a little before we started the sale, and that sure didn't hurt anything either. Just having that many big groups of nice cattle, long winged with the kind of condition, I mean, that'll always bring some buyers out of the woodwork, and it did Monday.
All right. Well, you got anything coming up at Elk City or Clinton or Western Oklahoma? I have to. It's just a habit. It's at Clinton, but anyway, Western Oklahoma coming up Friday or Monday, and before I forget, Labor Day weekend. What's your business hours going to be?
All righty. Coming up this Friday at Elk, we've got a couple of sets of middle-aged to older bred cows that we know are coming. And then we'll have another really big, nice calf run. Lots of them Reputation Ranch calves are going to be flowing in there. And going to have another nice calf run. Probably be pretty similar total numbers to what we had last week. Don't have anything on the books at WOLA for this coming Monday, except for a really nice load of home race feeder cattle weighing in the eighth. But it's early. Haven't had as many calls there. I'm sure everybody's kind of wanting to see what this board's doing, but I do have a really nice set of home race feeders coming in there this week. And then for Labor Day weekend, we will have a sale that Friday prior to Labor Day, but we will not have one Monday at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. We will be closed for Labor Day weekend.
All right. Well, you still had 1,600 something and almost 2,000 at Elk City. So keep them coming in, gentlemen and ladies. We got them going. Well, before I let you go, are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
You went to a meeting on these EID tags. Tell us what you found out.
So kind of similar to what we've already talked about, that they're going to force this thing on us come November, that we're going to EID the adult animals. And you know, we've been fighting this thing since, gosh, back in 2012, 13, 14. We've been kind of fighting this thing in the livestock marketing industry, kind of been able to kind of hold it off, kick it down the road. But, we finally just kind of got to the point where it looks like we're not going to be able to kick it down the road any further. They're gonna make us start electronic IDing those animals in November, the adult animals only. The unfortunate part about this is that, this is the first step towards they're going to want to, the powers that be would like to push this on and start doing all of them. But they have to prove that this is going to work on the adults before they can even think about moving it on to all cattle. One thing that we, it was a couple of months ago that we visited and the NCBA is really pushing EID, which the NCBA is pretty much turned into a packer organization. They're not really in touch with the producers, so they're really pushing this deal. We did get a lot of the states, including Nebraska and Oklahoma, to fight against that thing and not make that their policy where they wanted all cattle to be electronic ID'd. We're able to get that stopped this time, but, the NCBA still kind of wants to push towards that. The government thinking, that's the big lobbyist, so that's what they think that we're wanting to do. So they're pushing that deal. We're going to have to start doing it on the adult animals. There is an amendment that a Congress lady from
Nebraska, Wyoming.
She has put an amendment out that's in committee now to completely do away with electronic ID of these animals that the USDA has been pushing. Of course, the livestock marketing industry and several others, USA?
Yes.
USA Cattle has put their full support behind Congressman Hageman for this. We'll just have to wait and see if that gets any traction. That would be awesome if it did, and it stops this thing. But at this point, it's not going to happen before November, I don't think. And so I think we're going to be.
They can't even get the farm bill passed.
Yeah. So I think we're going to be EID and stuff. Adult animals coming November proposes a lot of problems for us. At the cell barns, we're capable of being able to do it. They say that they're going to supply the tags and the wands to begin with, and so maybe there's not going to be a cost that has to be passed on. But how long that lasts is anybody's guess. I think the number of tags that's been purchased and the funding that's available is going to run out pretty fast. I don't, by the first of next year sometime, first of the middle of next year, I'm afraid that's going to be an added cost that's going to have to be passed on for those EID tags. But we'll see what happens. I mean, there's a possibility that they could get something in the farm bill for some funding, but you really are supposed to kind of have money coming from somewhere to be able to fund something. That's never been our government's strong suit or our politician's strong suit to already know where the money's coming from. So if they do find the money to fund this deal, so the cattlemen aren't having to pay for what they think we need to be doing, somebody else is going to be. I mean, they're going to have to rob something else or tax something else, and so it's a frustrating deal. But we can hope and pray that Congressman Hageman's amendment gains traction and makes it through. But like I say again, that's probably not going to happen before November. So
come November, we'll have to start EID tagging the adult animals. And they don't even have a dad blame database or anything. So that's another frustrating thing about it. The database isn't set up and ready to go to handle the volume of tags if they're going to start getting read and wanted. And so, you know, there's a very likely, very, very strong likelihood that we may be applying EID tags and scanning them with the wand, but ultimately actually writing the numbers, doing the same thing we're not doing now, typing the numbers that is on that EID tag, hand typing them into a computer to go on the same paperwork that we're doing right now with the metal bright tags. So Dr. Hall is hopeful that we have a system in place where the wand will just automatically put it into the database. The database, it's still on trial up in Kansas. It's still in a trial and error phase there. So, you know, the odds of that being ready by November are very, very unlikely. So it's right now, this is the silliness of government and their ideas and what they think they can do and not do. But right now, it looks like that we will be applying $3 or $4 tags to cow's ears, but then doing the same thing and hand typing in the numbers off of them into our computers.
Sounds like somebody up there in the USDA in Washington promised something that they couldn't fulfill.
I can't imagine that happening. Yeah. That has never happened, does it?
No, it's not even never happened in my household. No, anyway, yeah. I guess I better shut up. But anyway, and you know what? There's some I've heard both sides. There's some good points on from people on both sides, and I'm not bringing this EID tag deal up to disturb one side or the other. But, you know, everybody needs to hear both sides. And actually, Representative or Senator Hagerman? Senator, isn't it?
I believe maybe she is a Senator Hagerman.
Yeah, anyway, she's got a good point that I heard a couple, 2-3 weeks ago. She's got a good point. She said, who gave the USDA the authority to implement this? Stuff like this is usually done by law from the U.S. House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, that was a good point.
And I would like to, I just out of curiosity, off the top of your head, throw me one of them good points out. I'd like to hear one of these good points about this coming about, how this is going to help us.
Right. And I mean, the only thing that I've heard is, you know, they already do dairy cattle. They already do, I think, rodeo stock, or they're getting ready to. And they do hogs already. They do goats already and all this stuff. The only thing I heard so far that I understand is, you know, if there is some kind of disease, which I wasn't thinking about it until this bird flu deal come up, and that was on the dairy cattle, and they haven't been able to stop it, but they've been able to track it. They can narrow it down pretty quick to where this disease come from. That's the only thing I've heard. I've heard this stuff about, well, the government's going to be using the satellites to track your cattle in your place. No, they're not. These are low powered EIDs, and you have to be there with a wand. And
I think the government, you know, I think they feel like maybe this is going to give them a better idea, you know, of how many cows, how many adult animals are maybe actually out here, that maybe this is going to help them with that. But back to your point about the disease deal, that works in the hogs and the dairy cattle because they are all contained in very, very small areas.
Yeah, okay.
So it works. It that's why that works. If we were in, we're all of our adult animals were in a feedlot, then this would work tremendously well. But when you are talking about a range animal that is out covering anywhere from 160 to some of those big Montana ranches, Florida ranches, you know, 20,000 acres.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about an entirely different ball game.
Right.
And then plus, the other side of this deal is that nobody talks about, but is out there, and you know, we presented them with this, but they don't seem to know what they can do about it. But the only ones that they can enforce doing the EID identification, the only ones they can force that on is the livestock auction. They can force it on us, but they can't force it on people trading adult animals out in the country. Now, they are supposed to do it. They are supposed to do it, but there's no teeth. There's nothing going to happen to you if you don't. Because we've seen it in the livestock auctions. We've seen it time and time again that they will come to us and they say, we need to track these animals. And we'll show them right where these animals went. Without electronic ID, we can track the animals. We know right where they went. With or without EID, we can do it just fine, no problem. But then they get to a point that somebody sold some of these in the country before us or after us, and they can't be tracked. And so this isn't going to change. If people are not doing what they're supposed to do with identification on country trade cattle now, all of a sudden, because it's electronic, it's not going to make them all of a sudden start doing it. So they're not going to have any more traceability with EID than what they've already got. They can trace every head of cattle that goes through a livestock auction. We can tell them exactly where they went because we do a good job of what we're supposed to do. But, you know, when you go to talking about these big, massive ranches or these little ranches, it doesn't matter. Like I just said, 160 acres
or 20,000
acres. It's, you know, the guy that owns those places or is running cows on that places may or may not know how many cows he's got and may or may not know which cows he sold to go where. You know, some of them will. Some of them are really good operators and they know. But, you know, we've already had examples of Oklahoma where there's been operators that sold cows that's not been able to tell you where they went when they left their place.
Right. Yep. And I can see that.
Yeah. So this is not gaining anything unless they are going to somehow put teeth in this and force everybody that markets cattle. You know, if they are going to change ownership, if they truly want to do this right, if the cattle are going to change ownership, then they should have to be ID. Period, the end, no questions asked. But they put these little loopholes in there for people to get around. Well, you don't have to if they're going to change ownership as long as they're staying in the same state. Well, all that does is make the ones that are changing cattle, that are selling cattle, no matter what, they always stayed in the state. Well, no, they didn't, but we didn't want to take them time to run them through the chute and read all their tags and turn that into the state of Oklahoma, so we just said they stayed in the state. So until they decide to actually start enforcing the laws they've already got on the books, just changing it from hand-read tags to EID is not going to, it's not going to fix anything.
Well, I got a big amen on the text line for you. that's a good point, Brandon. Well, Brandon, we went about 10 minutes way past mine and your time, so I
no
got
way.
Yeah, no way. But anyway, thank you so much for your perspective on it, and I'm sure this ain't the last time we're going to talk about it. And so but anyway, thanks for your perspective on that, and I got to take a break, so I got to let you go.
All right, we'll see you, Jimmy.
All right, thank you. All right, we're going to take a Stockman's Vet break. Hey, he's got some good points, and some other people's got some good points, and that's what this show's all about, to hear both sides of it. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. I'm going to give you some weather for northwestern Oklahoma, and then we're going to take another break, and then we're going to, well, I might do some, I got some hay stuff popping up all over the text line here, so we got to save time for it. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Isaiah 44 verses 2 and 24 say, "This is what the Lord says, He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself." Mom and Dad, tell your kids it's okay to be different from the others. The most pressure-filled space in the world of a child is inside the four walls of a school building. It's easy for grown-ups to forget how much pressure there is for kids not to be different, to wear the clothes the others are wearing, to listen to the music the others are listening to talk and act like the cool kids. Tell them the coolest thing in the world is becoming the person God created them to be, not the person the world wants them to be. Raise your kids to stand out, to be kind, to work hard, and to please our Heavenly Father with good works and actions. Brought to you by Canyon Oilfield Services. Remember, the key word in Canyon Oilfield Services is service.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Kent Watkins here, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. It is time for fall cover crop seed. This is a critical step in the growing process. Remember, keep it covered. Stop by SEI Agritech to get all your fall cover crop seed. In addition to that, we are now contracting winter cattle kits, another very important part of livestock management. Come see me. Let's get all your fall seed and your winter feed contracts done. All here at SEI Agritech in Elk City, located on South Randall.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com. High
cotton. He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Man, I got some great questions about the EID. I got some great texts for the... hey, let's go ahead and do a couple of hay sales, and then we'll come back and do the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for Southwestern Oklahoma and do a couple more. This gentleman, you guys got your pencil and pen ready? This gentleman has 70 bales, 5x6s, of wheat hay for sale, and $70 a bale, and he can load 580-330-0719. 70 bales of 5x6 wheat bales, $70 a bale. Also, 70 bales, $70 a bale. Got them numbers down. Anyway, that equals $4,900 total if he sells them all. 580-330-0719. And then next one, I got Beardless True to Cow, 1,100-pound bales, $60 a bale. 399-580-399-0437. 0437. Let's go ahead and take another quick break because Brandon and I talked too long, and come back and we'll finish up. And I got two more deals for hay for sale. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Come on down to Galleria Furniture, Mattress, and Appliance Outlet of Elk City. This month, we have 15% off of all recliners, which we have over 120 to choose from. Free flex heads-up base with purchase of any spring air mattress. All four colors of the Spartacus six-piece sectional was $32.99, now $24.99. Tons of inventory reduction markdowns all over the store, located right next to Tractor Supply, where friends don't let friends pay retail.
You look outside and notice the grass is getting tall and will need mowed soon. But your old push mower is on its last leg and you sure could use a new mower. You head down to the convenience store and get your usual cup of coffee and pick up a copy of the Penny News. Then you see it. It's right there on the front page. DJ's Rentals in Elk City is discounting their in-stock zero-turn mowers. You think to yourself, now's the perfect time to get what I need and save some money too. My wife will be so proud.
I spray and scrub, but the soap scum in my bathtub is still there.
I spray and scrub, but the burnt sauce on my stovetop sticks around.
Sprays can leave grime behind, but Mr. Clean Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser combines the scrubbing power of an eraser with the cleaning power of Dawn to melt away tough messes on contact.
Just wet, squeeze, and erase.
Stop spraying, start erasing, and clean with more magic than ever with Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an Easy Haul Hay Trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 19th. 1,656 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 549 brought 270. 5 at 661 brought 240. 12 at 771 brought 246. 6 at 798 brought 241. 61 at 855 brought 238. 24 at 855 brought 234.50. 23 at 1,003 brought 215. 4 head of heifers at 368 brought 322. 8 at 424. Brought 321, 10 at 535 brought 253, 3 at 602 brought 228, 19 at 665 brought 244, 11 at 674 brought 219, 16 at 695 brought 236, butcher cows were 107 to 155, butcher bulls brought 115 to 189, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Altus 93, feels like 97, heat risk moderate. Dew point 68, humidity 44. The winds are out of the northwest at 4 miles an hour. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 91 degrees. Sunset at 8:19, hot and 104 today. Tonight 73, tomorrow hot again and 104 with the east wind. All right, got one, maybe two more hay sales to go here. You guys ready? Some really good rye hay, not tested. 140 per ton, 1,100 pound bales. If I did my math right, that's about $68 a bale. Really good hay, rye hay, can load. Number is 580-821-4816. Sorry, me and Brandy got to talking a little bit today, so I'll have it organized next week and not in two deals. But anyway, I'm going to repeat what we had a while ago, and that is some 70 bales of 5x6 wheat hay of 580-330-0719, $70 per bale, and he can load. And some beardless Truda cow, 1,100 pound bales, $60 a bale at 580-399-0437. Anyway, it's off to run and start. We're going to build this hay selling deal for the last segment of Tuesday's show. And thank you, Great Plains Bank, for sponsoring that segment for Hay Day Tuesdays. But anyway, so the EID deal, man, I guess I stirred Brandon up a little bit. I got him to tell us what other people are being quiet about. So anyway, we'll get that going. That wasn't the last of it, but I got some good responses from listeners, and this is not working cattle. We're not going to be yelling at each other. We're just going to tell both sides of the story. Also, on the Beardless Truda Cow, there's 200 bales available. He's got plenty. So anyway, if you got any questions on these, please call me or text me, and I'm saved everybody's number on the hay sale and anytime. You guys have a great day. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless you.